Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Mind Shack. My name is Jean-Claude, a host of this podcast, and I'm joined by
Christina. I'm also going to be a host for today.
Mind Shack is a Gen Z podcast that discusses topics ranging through societal issues, psychology, entrepreneurial leadership for Africans by Africans who humbly aim to be African leaders in our respective spaces. You can also find us on our Instagram, on various social media, but particularly our Instagram where we engage the most. That is mind_shack_. As you can kind of engage with us on the coming podcast episode, as well as the previous ones that have happened. So we're keen for you to be listening to the podcast right now. In this episode, episode 9, we're going to be talking about rape culture and misogyny. Obviously, we're African, so in an African context, we're going to be breaking down a little bit about rape culture and misogyny. On this episode, though, we've decided once again to bring on a guest. I think that's an ongoing thing. We're always going to have a guest, pretty much. So our guest today will introduce themselves. They go by the name Anastasia. Anastasia, if you don't mind introducing yourself and just saying why you've decided to join us today.
My name is Anastasia. I decided to join because this is a topic that is really dear to me. Basically because, unfortunately, rape culture and misogyny is something that we experience for everyday life to such an extent that it became normal. Like, it became the norm for a girl growing up. And unfortunately, it's becoming more and more of a norm for boys as well, both like as victims and perpetrators.
That's really true. I think conversations around it need to happen more on like cases that have happened, and yeah, not stigmatizing it so much where victims feel like they shouldn't be speaking. But anyways, we'll pause that for a little second. Before we get right into it, thank you for sharing that. That's really, really important. I want to know how you're doing, Anastasia. How are you doing today? What, like, how are you? You're in the pandemic. We're in the pandemic. You're not alone, obviously. How's it been so far?
Well, it's getting better because like we've been out of lockdown since the end of May, so beginning of June, and since then we've got no new local cases, so everybody can go on about their lives normally, just wearing the mask. So it's really nice, and it's nice going out and having fresh air.
I'm in South Africa, so I've got the complete opposite of what you're talking about. Right now, cases are spiraling out of control. The economy, the government is trying to make decisions on the economy and like balance of getting it upright and still standing and still fighting the pandemic that's happening. So it's a bit of a twisted thing that's going on right now. So yeah, I really envy what you're saying. Tina, haha, I never forget you. How are you doing? How's the pandemic going?
I appreciate that. I'm seeing JC. I'm good. I mean, so curfew was extended to like 9 p.m. now. So I have been leaving the house a little bit more, but only for essential things. I'm still one of those people who are staying at home. I am privileged too. But in terms of the pandemic, we're still being told, you know, like things are about to get out of control. So I think there's definitely still that anxiety, but the country has opened up. So people are starting to get back to normal. And I think there's just that reminder that although things look normal, it's not normal. Yeah.
That's really, really true. Honestly, what you say is exactly what it is, because until a vaccination is out, it's just going to be weirdness until. So we just got to do what we've been told to do, social distancing, mask on. So guys, without further ado, I think let's get into the topic a bit. So firstly, just to define it, rape culture is basically around a society or environment whose prevailing social attitudes have the effect of normalizing or trivializing sexual assault and abuse. So I'll just go into the first question. What personal experiences, I'm gonna try, you know, make it as real as possible. What personal experiences have you gone through as a woman around men? And how can you relate that to the culture?
So most women, me included, start experiencing catcalling when you start puberty. some even before, which makes it worse. But like, personally, I've experienced catcalling, sexual harassment, like guys shouting stuff to you, sexual commands, whatever, indecent gestures. I had that as well. Being followed, like I was followed from schools to tuition, and the other way around as well. Then you have grouping in public transport, and like, unfortunately, I'm saying this, but most likely Christina has experienced with most of it as well, the most part of that, and most women did as well. So on a like on a personal basis, yeah.
I definitely think catcalling is something I've experienced for years, like till the point I've had to become strategic with how I move, just so that I prevent that from happening, because sometimes it's just very uncomfortable. So if it means like wearing earphones, I know a lot of girls would understand me, like wearing earphones when you're walking, put like walking with your head down so that they don't get eye contact with you and start catcalling you. But there's some men that are actually quite aggressive, and it's like if they call out to you and you don't acknowledge them or smile or act polite, like they actually come up to you and are quite aggressive because they're looking for some type of validation. It's like, oh, I noticed you, and I'm trying to make you feel nice by complimenting you, and in reality their compliment is actually like, I can see how they've objectified me, if that makes sense. I think in addition to that, there's just natural sexual harassment of like, okay, the fact that I'm even saying that it's natural, that's sad. But you know, let's say you're at a party and some dude decides that he doesn't even know your name, he doesn't even know like anything about me, but he's decided, oh yeah, you know, like I can just grab her, or I can dance with her without her consent, or you know what I mean, or I can just grab her arm, or just treating, it's not just me, I would say this for like a lot of girls that I'm around, treating girls like they don't have the choice to, you know, say no or reject you or just be their own person. That's definitely an issue, and I think as a result of that, a lot of girls have developed a like a group mentality where we do things as a group. If it's going to the bathroom as a group, if it's let's say doing anything at night, it's as a group, even though that's not necessarily our choice. Personally, for me, I would love to go at night and do things on my own, but that's not safe, and that's now the reality of this rape culture that we need to talk about. Is that I feel like I'm putting myself at risk if I go outside at night alone, just because the world is the way it is. So I definitely think that it's an issue, and it's rampant.
Yeah, this for guys, like this patriarchal like system is a problem. Like validation, I think, is a key word part of what you said. Guys in general just feel they need this validation, ego. Something is being stroked. It like fulfills them as a person, as a man, for them to get a response or accomplish something within their mind with women. And that's where the problem is, because it's like existing within guys' circles and stuff like that. And they're not often enough having the conversations when they're alone, opposed to in scenarios when women finally speak out. Conversations among guys need to happen more often for it to not like seem like something so normal for a guy to just decide to be catcalling, saying what he wants to a woman, making her feel uncomfortable. So yeah, thank you for sharing those personal experiences. It's not always easy to share stuff like that. What are some examples of rape culture, trivialized or normalized, sexual assault and abuse, etc.? Let's start to like create the foreground before you go right in there.
I would say some examples of rape culture would definitely be making jokes about sexual assault, like you know, it's not that serious, or she asked for it. I feel like that's the most problematic one. Or even just like, you know, tolerating sexual harassment. let's say when you actually blame the victim, like let's say if somebody has said, oh, I feel in that situation, I did not consent the situation and I would consider it rape, and someone completely dismisses it and blames the victim and says, oh, you know, but you put yourself in that circumstance, so something like that. Or even just sexual objectification of women, where you look at a woman and you really just, you see her body as something to be like consumed, you know, like you're just like, you know the way they have that, oh, like she looks like a snack, that kind of energy. Even though that's funny, that's actually perpetuating rape culture. There are a lot more other examples, but I think those are the main ones right now that I think are plaguing everyday people.
Yeah, because that's where the conversation is. Like there's parts of it that are like in modern day culture and traditional culture, as well as like within an organizational systems, and as well as like within personal day-to-day environments. So that's where there's a problem. Like even in entertainment and things that we look up to, is this like misogynistic approach where women are like just spoken of and viewed in a certain way for a guy, and that filters into the way people talk about it on a day-to-day basis. The people that listen to I literally have music in mind, people that listen to these artists or whatever the case is, and they have a misogynistic message that they're sending through, it filters through. So yeah, I think you've touched on what's kind of important about that. Although there's a little bit more to it, so I think that's a good
start. We'll get into that though.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I can give the next question to you, Anastasia. I wanted to know a little of who is affected by rape culture, and how does it affect these people? We've spoken about women, in particular, but I think and how it affects them. Sorry, not who is affected. How it affects the people that are affected by this.
When we come to how it affects people, so obviously it affects women because we are victims of it. It can be catcalling, slut shaming, victim blaming, and even more of that, because unfortunately those things exist, as from a very young age, girls are taught that you shouldn't wear this outside because you're going to get attention, you're going to catch attention. So the thing is, when you're raising a child with that mindset, it's that you're putting the blame on them. You're basically saying, if you go out like that, when I told you not to, the reaction you're going to get is on you.
It's a conversation that's being had, but it's being had in the wrong way. So why do you think, I think you somewhat answered it, Anastasia. Why do you think this occurs? The way we're being taught about rape from a young age, and somehow in your question I want you to kind of lean into like the laws apart from the culture, the way people think of it, the laws that exist at least in an African context, and what are the root causes of rape, and then what allows the people that are victimizing these women to continue to do it.
You can't understand the origin of rape culture without a historical background. And the thing is that from the dawn of time, there's always been this power dynamic between men and women, where women had less power. And for a very long time, women were considered property. So when you have this kind of culture where women are seen as property, it gives right to entitlement. It actually makes men think that I'm entitled to that because she's my property, right? So I can do whatever I want. And as from that, even though times are changing, culture is evolving, mindsets are very difficult to change. And this idea of ownership of women is passed down in several things. Like you have mass media, obviously, like in some kind of music, in some movies, Religion really, to some extent, puts on this idea that like women were created to complement, like to complement men, but to serve them as well.
Right now, we're going to a quick break. This break is one to say thank you. Thank you to you, our listener, for your feedback, for engaging with our podcast on our various social media as we work to improve and incorporate it. We urge you to continue to do so as we set sail. Thank you very much. We hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
So here again, you're depriving women from body ownership. It's like your body is yours until you're given to a man, and then it's his to do whatever he wants with. And those are ideas that like have been passed on through culture, history, religion, and mass media for a long time. Now talking like, and those transpired into laws as well. Because for a long time, rape was not recognized as a crime, like the violation of somebody, of a woman's body or a person's body. It was recognized as a crime because it was considered the theft of another man's property. It's only as from like the late 19th century, the late 19th century, around that time, but rape was considered a crime because you're violating someone's body and not someone's property.
I then want to like transition to a work environment or an organizational environment. I want to know, how has rape culture spilled into the work environment, and how can we build a better working environment for women? Tina, if you don't mind, I'm going to give that question to you.
Yes, I would say there's definitely sexual harassment in the workplace that I think a lot of women experience, like whether it's just men making them feel completely uncomfortable, or like I had mentioned before, objectifying them or catcalling them within the work environment, or men not seeing women as equals just because they're women. And I think a lot of the time people think that that's such a far idea and it's only feminists that are fighting that, but I'm sure if you asked your mom, if you asked your sister about their workplace, especially in an African community, they would say that at some point a colleague of theirs made them feel uncomfortable or made them feel like it was a compliment for them to, you know, describe how hot they're looking in their skirts today, when in reality it's like, is that all you've noticed today? Like, not my work, but my outfit, great. And yeah, I definitely think in the workplace, there's, women have to work twice as hard as men to get the same type of respect and authority. Otherwise, they're just reduced to being something to gaze at and like eye candy, you know? So I definitely think that's something that's contributed. And a way that we could help make the environment better for women, ooh, first of all, seeing a woman as your equal. That will forever be the beginning, changing the mindset that we have towards women, seeing them as your equal and understanding that you have the power to help someone in their everyday life. I feel like a lot of times people don't think it's their issue. So they're like, ah, if I'm not the one who's contributing to the culture, I don't need to really contribute. I think if a lot more people in that gray area were willing to even say the little comment of that's not okay, you may not necessarily be marching in the streets and being like, oh, you know, fire that man, but it's like, just if more people were willing to say that's not okay, if 20 employees said that's not okay in a building, there's a higher chance of something being done, you know.
As a guy, again, I'm gonna speak as a guy, hear your brother say something that's offside and tell him that's offside, that's not something you should be saying, opposed to either keeping quiet and being part of that gray area, and or saying something that's like adding to the problem, to the like bigger problem.
And I guess like something that can be done to make the environment better is that companies need to have real incentives. You can't just say that something is wrong and then do nothing about it. Because then you're just letting someone walk out as if nothing happened. So someone can know that it's not right, but what can happen to me? Nothing. So what do I have to lose?
Yeah, I agree. I think policies need to be put in place in some cases. Like in some companies, they don't acknowledge policies for protecting women in the work environment. So, and that starts from like hiring. That starts from hiring the decisions that are, because a lot of decisions are made literally by the gender of a woman taking up a position. They don't even get through, I mean, they get to the door, but they don't even get further than that. And that's where like part of the problem. And then once they're in the system, a lot of systems right now, especially in the environment you're in Africa, don't acknowledge creating policies for protecting women. So yeah, I think you're quite right in that point. So in what ways are women playing a part in contributing to this? Anastasia, I'm going to give that one to you again.
So firstly, and I think this is the most important thing, women play a part and contribute to rape culture when they don't believe or don't want to listen to other victim stories. This is the biggest thing, because if there's no unity among ourselves, we can't expect other people to join our fight as well. So the first thing and the most important thing is that as women, we should listen to all victims, female and male and non-binary and transgender, anyone. And this person's story needs to be heard. That's the first thing. The second thing women do that perpetrate rape culture is obviously, and this is really sad as well, slut shaming and victim blaming. Because a lot of women are conditioned and socialized since they are young with that idea that you don't dress like that, you don't walk alone at night, you don't walk at night, or you don't go out with guys and you are the only girl, stuff like that. When other women share their stories or other victims share their story, and it's something along those lines, some women just go full slut shaming, victim blaming mode on them and are like, you are a woman, you should know you can't do that, you can't do this. But then you're just taking the perpetrator's side. We are making it worse for ourselves.
To add on to that, I think this is unconscious, but awareness is always key. I think women need to educate themselves on what sexual harassment looks like, sexual assault looks like. I definitely think a lot of women are given a very narrow view of, like, you know, what rape looks like, what sexual assault looks like. So they don't even know that they're victims of it. So they can't even speak out or even, you know, be able to go against it. So I definitely think education, so women are more aware of the realities of what rape culture looks like. Like now, for example, if I said sexual, you know, sexual objectification, that is something that continues rape culture and we didn't even know it. Or there are a lot of situations that I think women go through and aren't told that, oh, you should watch out for that. So education is key as well.
Yeah, it's education and a balance of consequences. Like I think I said it a little earlier, like the consequences, the word is impunity. Like the consequences need to exist. This this idea of this again, like a gray area where people, where things happen and then women don't want to speak out. Like the culture needs to accept victims, accept victims and make victims feel more empowered and free to speak. Not to force any victim to speak, whether they want to speak or not is somewhat up to them. But people, I think we've somewhat seen it all together on like a personal level. People that speak out on this, people that get to speak out at this, playing like a literally ripple through in effect of like other women. They bring women together to that story, and people and men as well get educated. They get a reckoning of like what a woman's going through when they go through these things. And then, like, right, we having the conversation as we are today, people within their sub-circles and stuff like that, like, it's really difficult to sit in or to sit with a person and ask them about that kind of thing. First of all, it's going to help a person on a personal level to speak about that kind of thing. But then if they speak about it on a broader perspective, it's going to help other people who've, like, kept quiet about it be able to relate, at least, to start with relate. And then from there, they start moving towards, like, touching on the topics and conversations, hopefully in their circles and stuff like that. It just needs, and the consequences, again, they just have to really exist. They have to really exist. People that are making these actions and getting away with it shouldn't be getting away with it. So, yeah, I wanted to then ask, how can we as individuals speak out against the root causes of rape culture?
I think definitely conversations need to be had, but specifically on redefining what masculinity looks like. That's definitely something men and women need to be educated on, because I think, let me now give the example of the African perspective, that a man is supposed to be strong, almost aggressive, and dominant all the time. And I think that type of masculinity has led to situations where men are also aggressive in, you know, like sexual situations, which can cause, like, which not can cause, but you know what I'm trying to say, it's linked to another rape culture that's going on. So I think if women are also raised to not think the most attractive men are the most aggressive ones, that would help as well. And if men are not raised to think that being masculine is by being the most aggressive, that's definitely the types of conversations that need to be had. And just having a broader understanding of rape culture, that it's not just a stranger, you know, it's not just about rape only. It's a culture, like it's different things that link towards it. There's harassment, there's objectification, there's dismissing of victims, like it's a cult. There's so many things that link to it. So it's not just about you saying, yeah, I don't condone rape. It's, there's so much to it.
If you had a friend that was sexually assaulted or raped, how can you help them? In general, like cueing in to like having conversations that are difficult should be something a little bit more of respecting, being able to listen and cueing into conversations that are difficult should be something more of a norm for us. At times we just scared away from those conversations. At times we don't handle those conversations well. Then people are like, I'm never gonna open up again. And they carry these burdens through while opening up has so much strength.
So I think you're right on the fact that the first thing is you should listen to your friend. But listen in a very neutral way. Don't try to be judgmental at any point. And then everybody has this instinct of saying, understand what you're going through. But in those cases, if this thing never happened to you, don't tell that person that you understand what they are going through. And then secondly, I would say, if your friend is not sure about, for example, reporting, unfortunately, the way laws are, and even more in African countries, it's really hard to report. Like, you would go to the police station to report, the police officers are going to be really hard on you. Police officers are not trained to handle victims of sexual assault or of rape properly. One of the first things that comes to mind is like, are you sure you didn't put that situation upon yourself? Are you sure you were not consenting, but now you are just regretting it? So if your friend is hesitating, the first thing I would say is don't pressure them to, because it's going to be really hard. And if they do decide to report, support them a lot, because it's going to be a really hard thing. Yeah, it's going to be, unfortunately, the way laws are and our countries are, it's going to be really hard. And just remind them that no matter what happened and no matter what kind of bullshit people might tell them, they were not at fault, they did nothing wrong. And they don't have to blame themselves for anything.
That's really, really key. The way the conversation's had is really, really key. Because we need to kind of like learn within ourselves that there's certain kind of conversations that no matter who you're talking to, you need to always be careful with. Sometimes like we just have conversations and we don't know any kind of experiences and things people have had in it. You never, like, I feel like some of the moments where someone has opened up to me in my life is because I've expressed some level of, it almost felt like they weren't in an environment or, you know, directly speaking to someone where they felt comfortable to just potentially share about something they actually wanted to get out of their system. But because so many people are like on a fast going, we live a fast going life. People are on this fast going life and the system, and yeah, a lot of people get brushed off in a chance where they could have taken to heal. Tina, I'm introducing you on this last question. Is there something you want to highlight here?
I think Anastasia really did cover a lot of it, but just to highlight further and just to emphasize that a lot of the time if you're trying to help a victim, what's most important is your presence and just that safe space. I think a lot of time victims may not actually realize that they're victims until they start speaking. So I think being quiet and allowing people to speak actually helps them understand the gravity of how they've been violated. And that's what's very necessary for the healing process, is to really understand the kind of wrong that was done to you. Yes, and then I think also validation is very key. Just emphasizing the idea that it is no one's fault but the perpetrators. That's the most important thing, because I think a lot of the time, even victims don't feel like, okay, I'm speaking on their behalf, honestly, let me just, but from what I've read, victims don't feel like people understand. So being that safe space and allowing and making them feel like no matter what you say, I believe you, that's enough. That's actually enough. And I think that's the best way we can support them. You know, obviously in terms of the other ways we mentioned, but if it's your friend, that'd be very, very important to be that safe space and to allow them to talk and to process. Because the pain is deep.
And for guys, y'all, gentlemen, we gotta speak to each other. We gotta speak to each other and realize that this thing, because a lot of us are perpetrators in this, and if you feel like that's a personal jab at you, then you might not be thinking of this the right way. But we need to have these conversations. We need to just have these conversations among ourselves and then grow from there in a way that's like people that have gone through experiences that we don't know of, find it a little more open to speak to us about, because in that way they feel like they're educating us. We are getting educated in that moment. And yeah, more conversations. I think, yeah, what you've highlighted, Anastasia and Christina, is really important. Thank you so much, Anastasia, for joining. You've shared some like really, really important points and also opened up on some of your experiences within this space. So thank you very much for coming through, spending the time with us and having the conversation.
Thanks for inviting me. It was a really great experience. I really appreciate that.
Awesome. In closing, please, guys, once again, we thank you so much for your feedback and engagement on Instagram. We're most engaging with you guys. We just want you to continue doing that. So please, please do continue doing that. on the handle mind_shack_. And yeah, we hope you've managed to listen all the way through to the end. And if you have, send a thumbs up somewhere. And yeah, we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening through once again. Cheers.
Bye.